Venerable religious and dear parishioners, for my text today, instead of quoting from the epistle and gospel of today, I want to share with you the insights I received by reading the epistle from yesterday, the Vigil of the Holy Ghost, or the Vigil of Pentecost, that is. And well, let's just hear this, okay? This is Acts of the Apostle, chapter 19. This morning's epistle is, of course, from Acts chapter 2. So this happened later. Now, it was while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, after passing through the upper districts, came to Ephesus and found certain disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Ghost?" When you became believers. But they said to him, "We have not even heard that there is a Holy Ghost." And he said, "How then were you baptized?" They said, "With John's baptism." So here we have people who had, to some extent, converted in the right direction, but although they were in good faith, they didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. In other words, they were complete strangers to him. It hadn't been revealed to them yet, for whatever reason, that in God there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So needless to say, St. Paul then instructed them in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which is the most original doctrine. Before anything was made, God existed. And in God, there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Our human reason tends to rebel against that because it says, well, if there's three persons, there must be three gods, but that's an impossibility. So we believe it, not because we fully understand it. We will never fully understand it. But we believe it because God has revealed it to us. It's not a contradiction. It's a paradox. It's something that's far above us. We will never understand it fully. My favorite story about the Trinity is St. Augustine walking along the seashore, trying to understand, trying to somehow grasp. How can you have three persons and only one God? And as he's walking along, he sees a little boy who had dug a hole in the sand and had a little bucket. And he was taking that little bucket back and forth from the sea as it rolled in on the waves. He'd fill up his bucket and then pour it into the hole. And then he would go back out to the water, fill up his bucket, come back, pour it into the hole. And he kept doing this. "What are you doing, little fellow?" Augustine asked him. The little boy said, "I'm going to put the ocean into this little hole." And St. Augustine then said, "Well, that's impossible. Just look at the size of it." And most versions of this story say that it was at that moment the little boy changed into an angel. It was actually his guardian angel who knew that he was trying to understand the infinite mystery of the Trinity. And he said to him, "You will neither you will not understand the Holy Trinity. You, just like I can't fit this ocean into this hole, you cannot fit the mystery of the Trinity into your mind, your finite mind. It was a moment of humility for St. Augustine. It was a moment, it was a very profound moment. And it takes humility to accept this doctrine. Again, human reason says it can't be. And how many people in the world, probably the majority of the world, reject the Holy Trinity? Major religions of the world and the pagans, sad to say, they do not believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are strangers to the Holy Ghost. Complete strangers in many cases. We do not want to be strangers to the Holy Ghost either. Yes, we believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, but do we not sometimes become estranged from the Holy Ghost by not cultivating a devotion to Him? This is something God wants of us. Not only are we to love God above all things and above all human creatures and have that relationship with Him, we need to have a relationship with each of the three persons, and they want it. Read the pages of Holy Scripture. You will see that we have that very deep connection with the Father. We became His children in baptism. We have a most profound connection with the Son. He is our Redeemer. He is our spiritual food in Holy Communion. He is even our divine brother, we could say, because we're all adopted children of God. He's the only Son of the Father. And then the Holy Ghost lives in our soul. That's why the body is sometimes called the temple of the Holy Ghost. At Holy Mass today, at this Mass with incense, after the crucifix is incensed, the relics, the altar will be incensed, then the priest, then the servers, and then you will be incensed. Or more accurately, the Holy Ghost living in your souls through sanctifying grace will be incensed. Because technically, incense is only offered to God. So what a privilege we have. We have this very, or we need to have this very deep connection with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost and not be strangers. I don't mean it in the complete sense because, of course, you believe. You need to treasure that life of God in you, sanctifying grace. That's the life of God in you. It's your most precious possession. Without it, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's how close God wants to be to us. So we need to have this devotion, as I said, in our daily lives, strengthen our devotion to our Heavenly Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. I hope that you were noticing well the wonderful words in the Pentecost Novena that we just concluded yesterday. I would almost say this is a complete retreat, or at least a complete set of readings on explaining each of those seven gifts. And of course, it emphasizes the idea of grace. The very first reading for the first day, only one thing is important, eternal salvation, or most important, that is. Only one thing, therefore, is to be feared, sin. Sin is what breaks or harms our relationship with God. And this is why we make such efforts to overcome it, to die to ourselves. We want to strengthen our relationship with God. And this is something we do through our prayer life, through our daily prayer life, and be thinking again of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And of course, we have the help of our Blessed Mother, she who had the perfect relationship with each of the three divine persons. She had the greatest and most special relationship, as we know. But also in these readings, we had an explanation of each of the seven gifts. Each. What the gift of wisdom does for us, what the gift of fear of the Lord does for us, what the gift of piety, on and all. So by all means, if you want to keep this, these novena prayers, keep them. This is excellent for your prayer life, your daily effort to strengthen your relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then the reading for the ninth day was on the fruits of the Holy Ghost. There's seven gifts and 12 fruits. In some listings in the New Testament, 9 fruits are mentioned, but then they were expanded, some of them. They were synonyms of each other, so that's why we end up with often considering them as 12 fruits instead of 9. But again, when the gifts are used, and these are special helps from God that transcend our human abilities, then we see more and more the fruits of the Holy Ghost in our daily lives. What are these fruits? You might make an examination of conscience on this. Charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, faith, mildness, temperance. So that is the listing of the 9, but as I said, it's often in our expanded to the 12. So the more we see these fruits in our lives, well, it's like a tree. If you see, you look at the fruit on a tree, is it very good fruit, or is it poor quality fruit, or something in between? Well, it all depends on the tree. So again, the life of grace, cultivating the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and then, of course, making your daily efforts to live a virtuous life, it will produce more and more these fruits. One other thing that caught my eye in yesterday's epistle was where reference was made to tongues and to prophecy. Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And it may be asked, well, why don't we have that now? And the simple answer is, they're not needed. They were there in the early church because, again, the miracles needed to manifest the church. But now, 20 centuries later, the miracle of the church is continuing. That itself is such an amazing miracle. And so it's the spiritual gifts that are more present. Instead of, you know, like I was saying, being able to tell the future by the gift of God, or to speak in tongues or speak in languages you've never learned by the gift of God miraculously. So rest assured, we don't need to see those, but do thank God. Do try to notice. Be aware of how the gifts are operating in your life and in the lives of others. So many blessings to you on this Feast of the Pentecost. May you continue to grow in God's grace, that life of God in you. Do not let mortal sin drive that grace out of your soul, and then cultivate those gifts, that those wonderful helps from God. So a blessed feast of Pentecost to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.